Greetings, friends, and welcome to this broadcast of Bible Studies. Ken Baird, your speaker. Today on the broadcast, we will continue our current series of studies, Knowing Christ, from the book of Hebrews. The book of Hebrews was written to really glorify Christ, exalt Christ as compared with the Old Testament. Now, we have a comparison to make today, and we're going to talk about Christ as our mediator and as our companion, perhaps as our helper as well. He is our mediator and our companion. I'm going to ask you, if you have your Bibles near at hand, to turn to the 12th chapter of the book of Hebrews. Now, notice this contrast, if you will, please. Hebrews chapter 12 and verse 18. For ye have not come unto the mount that might be touched, that burned with fire, nor unto blackness and darkness and tempest. Now, Paul is referring to Mount Sinai, and Mount Sinai was all of these. The sound of a trumpet and the voice of words, which voice they that heard entreated that the word should not be spoken to them any more, for they could not endure that which was commanded. That scene was so sacred that God said that if anybody touched that mount, that they should be thrust through. And that was a fearful mount because it was the mount where the law was given, and God wanted to impress his people what that law meant. And then we go on reading, they could not endure that which was commanded, and if so much as a beast touched the mountain, it shall be stoned or thrust through the dart. So terrible was the sight that Moses said, I exceedingly fear and quake. Now Moses here is really a mediator, as we learn in Galatians chapter 3. But notice the change in verse 22. But ye, in contrast to the Old Testament saints, ye are come unto Mount Zion, and unto the city of the living God, the heavenly Jerusalem, and to an innumerable company of angels, to the general assembly and church of the firstborn, which are written in heaven, and to the God, the judge of all, and to the spirits of just men made perfect, and to Jesus, the mediator of a new covenant, and to the blood of sprinkling that speaketh better things than that of Abel. Now, our Lord Jesus Christ is a mediator. A mediator is a person who mediates between two people. He puts his hands on one, and he puts his hands on the other. A mediator is a wonderful, wonderful person, and Christ is exactly that mediator. Job longed for a daysman that would bring him and God together. Job lost his children and lost all his herds upon one single solitary day. He didn't lose his wife, but he lost all of those things, and he was overwhelmed at the stroke of judgment against him from God himself. And he says in the 9th chapter of the book of Job, verses 32 and 33, and he's speaking of God, for he's not a man, as I am, that I should answer him, and we should come together in judgment. Neither is there any days man betwixt us, that he might lay his hand upon us both. Now a mediator is a go-between, and Christ is a mediator. As a matter of fact, we read in 1 Timothy chapter 2, that first epistle to Timothy, there in verse 3, this is good and acceptable in the sight of God our Savior, who will have all men to be saved and to come unto the knowledge of the truth. For there is one God and one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus, who gave himself a ransom for all to be testified in due time. Now, Christ is spoken of here as the mediator between God and man. A mediator is a go-between. Now, our Lord Jesus Christ was equipped for this because he was a man and he was God. He could sympathize with men and men could have rapport with him, but they could not have rapport with God. God is a spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. And so our Lord Jesus Christ became a man that he might display his Father. We read that in first chapter John's Gospel, verse 12, "For the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld His glory. The glory is of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth." And the word there is capitalized. We see in that first chapter of John's Gospel, the Word is Christ. He is the divine Logos. He is the fullness of expression of what God was. He was able to intercede between man and God because He was both man and God. And how wonderful that we have a mediator. Now God, we read there in 1 Timothy 2, was not willing that any man should perish. There is one God and one mediator between God and man, the man Christ Jesus, who gave Himself a ransom for all, to be testified in due time. God will have all men to be saved and come to the knowledge of the truth. God wants every person on this earth in His heaven. Nobody, except those that listen to the lie of the devil, can say that he was not wanted. Christ made provision for everybody on that cross. He died for the sins of a guilty world. And I have the authority from God's Word to tell that to everybody that I meet. That is the good news of the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. Christ died for our sins, according to the Scriptures, and that He was buried, and that He rose again the third day, according to the Scriptures. How wonderful the gospel we have. Now, God does not want a single man to perish. And if they do perish, it is because they will not accept the mediatorship of Christ. They will not accept the fact that His precious blood put away our sins. He shed His blood, and they were shed to take away our sins. And our Lord Jesus Christ died for you and for me, whoever you are. Now, if you're not saved, listening to this broadcast, if you're not saved and continue to choose that pathway, you cannot blame God. He provided a sacrifice for all men. Now, the Lord declares in Matthew chapter 22, verse 41 to 46 there, his fact that He is man and God. Well, let's see how the Lord handles this situation. While the Pharisees were gathered together, Jesus asked them, saying, "What think ye of Christ? Whose son is He?" They say unto Him, "The son of David." He saith unto them, "How then doth David in spirit call Him Lord, saying, The Lord said unto my Lord, Sit thou on my right hand, till I make thy foes thy footstool." Now he's quoting from the 110th Psalm. And David is the author of that Psalm. And the first verse of that Psalm is that indeed that he is exactly as he is said to be. "How then doth David in spirit call Him Lord? The Lord said unto my Lord." David's Lord said unto my Lord, "Sit thou on my right hand till I make thy foes thy footstool." Now here he goes on to say in Matthew, "The Lord said unto my Lord, sit thou on my right hand." If David then call Him Lord, how is He His son? And no man was able to answer Him a word. They didn't know the answer. Isn't it tragic? He was indeed God and man. Here He was. The answer stood before them. Our Lord Jesus Christ was David's Lord. And He's also David's son. Now He has to become incarnate to be that way. And He was God manifest in flesh. Now He is our mediator. He can lay His hand upon God the Father, and He can lay His hand upon us, and He can bring us together, and He did so by shedding His precious blood, that our sins might be put away, that we might not be barred from heaven because of that barrier. Oh, how wonderful to have a mediator. And now we read further there in the book of Hebrews, chapter 13, where He is more than that. He is our companion. We read there in verse 5, "Let your conversation or your manner of life be without covetousness, and be content with such things as ye have, for He hath said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee." That is a very strong verse. It's a promise of the Lord. I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. He's our companion. He's our friend. And oh, what a friend he really is. We read in John chapter 15 and verse 15, these are the words of the Lord Jesus. Henceforth I call you not servants, for the servant knoweth not what his Lord doeth, but I have called you friends. For all things that I have heard of my Father have I made known unto you. I have called you my friends. And he says, I chose you. You didn't choose me. We read right in that very next verse, those same words. Now, isn't it marvelous that he's our friend? You know, friends are wonderful. I remember Carrie Jacobs Bond, wrote in a lovely song, when you come to the end of a perfect day, you know, you don't hear it anymore. But what was the end of a perfect day? You had found a new friend. Friends are wonderful. You know, relatives, we have no choice. We must choose them. Because we are relatives. I mean, we must accept them, rather. But friends, we can choose. We can choose our friends. Now, I'm not inferring, of course, that our relatives need be anything else than friends. Because if they are, that's a double bond. But we have a choice to make. Do we want him for our friend? Friends choose each other. Now, he says, I've chosen you. Have we chosen him? How did he become our friends? Well, now, in the 13th verse of that same 15th chapter of John's Gospel, we read these words, greater love hath no man than this, than a man laid down his life for his friends. The supreme sacrifice. He became our friend because he laid down his life for us. Friends have, they share confidences. We read there in that 15th verse, I have called you friends, for all things that I have heard of my Father, I made known unto you. I've taken you into my confidences. A friend loves at all times. Proverbs 17:17, a friend loveth at all times, and a brother is born for times of adversity. And then if friends criticize one another, friends really do. Good friends do. We read in Proverbs 27:6, faithful are the wounds of a friend, but the kisses of an enemy are deceitful. If you've got a friend that criticizes you, value that friend. But when our Lord does it, he does it in such a gentle, gentle tone. Our Father, today, we pray that you'll help us to realize what we have in Christ. We pray and ask it in his name.